It's the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge Kitchen and Bath Showroom.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go!
See what I did there? See, I worked in the Builder Supply Outlet. Into the Builder Supply Outlet.
That was good.
Yep, you're watching a real professional right here. Kevin knows. Yep.
No big deal.
Hey, by the way, you know what? Before we even start with the top five, I had forgotten to mention this. Did you see that after the guys won the whatever gold medal it was in swimming last night?
Yeah, the relay?
Yeah, was it the 800 meter relay, the 4 by?
Yes.
The 4 by 100, so 400 meter.
Yes.
4 by 100 meter relay. That was it. That Michael Phelps, where he swam like Aquaman underwater the entire time.
He's had a decent Olympic career.
Reasonable.
One of the guys was chugging Muscle Milk right afterwards. Did you see that?
No, but he's my hero. Really?
Yeah. Not. It wasn't Phelps. It was the other guy.
He gets it.
There was another guy. It was I think the guy from Springfield. The guy that cried on the stand.
Team USA fueled by Muscle Milk.
Yeah. But he was holding it so you couldn't see the logo, the label. But the one thing I know from Kevin is I know what that bottle looks like because Kevin chugs Muscle Milk between sportscasts because it's such taxing work.
Exactly. And I need to rebuild the muscles, the vocal cords. They need to rebuild. So you just throw some protein in your system and you're good to go.
Or as you like to call it, the teen.
Teen.
You got the teen going in the system, right?
Got some teen. You can consume it a lot of different ways. Muscle
That's
Milk
T-E-I-N.
Being one of the options. T-E-I-N.
Thank you.
Team time.
You know what, Violette? I never thought about it until just now.
And quite that way.
You're so right. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm proud of that swimmer. He understands it. He gets it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Okay. Now I'm never going to be able to hear him say that again, what you just did.
I'm sorry.
You just ruined it for me. He's talking about chugging teens and doing that. No. No. Oh, God. All right. You know what? Enough of this. Checking in at... No, hold on one second. Now enough of this.
Number 5.
In Florida, Hillary Clinton gave a mocking denunciation of Donald Trump's economic policy address, telling a crowd today that the speech was written for him by a team of economic advisors that includes hedge fund guys, billionaire guys, and 6 guys named Steve.
Here's what we all know. Because we heard it again. His tax plans will give super big tax breaks to large corporations and the really wealthy, just like him and the guys who wrote the speech, right? Here's the other thing I want you to know, because I want you to tell your friends, don't let a friend vote Trump.
Can I just tell you something? That... This Hillary Clinton and this Donald Trump neither of them have a soul. Neither of them are capable of expressing themselves in a real way in front of a crowd, right? There's no there. There's no real there in either of them because they're trying to not show you who they truly are.
I thought that was actually a little humanizing for her though. There's her sense of humor. She doesn't usually. Frequently, she has trouble delivering.
And as she did there.
Well, but I think that's better than normal for her. I'm okay with that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah, I really do.
Yeah.
No, well, he had problems today because he had to read off the teleprompter, and he can't read. And, you know, it's not his cadence, and it shows. He's very stilted when he reads. So.
Yeah.
But I thought that was good flow for her. No, you don't agree. Okay.
I don't know. No. Friends, don't let friends vote Trump.
She's trying. She's not the funniest person, right? She's trying to.
You know, it's like, let me just tell you, you know, I'm going to tell you what this election is like. It's like Men in Black. It's like, you know, it's like they seem like normal.
Which one?
Right. They're all. It's like they it's like when the Men in Black go out and there's like an alien that's like hiding in a human body. And then they rip the head off the human body. And it turns out that it's like a. You know, there's something lurking underneath there.
Cephalopod or something.
Something like that. And you're like, what? I knew it. And now they got this other guy who just jumped into the race. Who is this guy?
Yeah, we know nothing about him.
He's got 12 followers on Twitter, and he's running for president of the United States. No one's ever heard of him. He's a former CIA guy. Now, a CIA guy should not have a lot of followers on Twitter, right? Isn't that the whole point? I mean, so I appreciate he's a very great CIA guy. But he was a CIA guy who got out after 10 years of working in places that they don't want to fully identify.
A couple years at Goldman Sachs.
And then he went, right, then he goes, to, he leaves that, goes to Goldman Sachs, cashes in. Then he goes from Goldman Sachs to the, whatever the Republican congressional, he goes to the office of the Republican Party in Congress, essentially. And he starts giving them economic and security advice. Now, here's the thing. I mean, first of all, I don't know anything about this guy. He seems like a nice enough fellow, I'm sure. And, you know, we thank him for his service to the United States and the CIA. That's very, very tough work and very, very, very dangerous work. But he, you know, if you go from the CIA to Goldman Sachs, the Goldman Sachs they want you for a reason, right?
Yeah, that is an interesting move. What's more interesting is that he left Goldman Sachs that quickly.
Yeah, to go.
I think he was only there a couple of years.
And then to go to the Republican, to the Republican caucus, essentially, and Congress. And you just wonder what could he bring to Goldman Sachs? Now, he's probably not going to rise to the level of a serious enough candidate that people are going to start asking him questions like that. But that's a question to be answered. And then do we need another distraction in this election? No, we do not, Susan. No, we do not.
Number four.
Trying to turn the page after a bad campaign stretch. That's what they say about Donald Trump today. He gave a big speech at the Economic Club of Detroit today. It was a 55-minute speech in which he discussed his economic plan.
It's a conversation about how to make America great again for everyone, especially, and I say especially, for those who have the very least. I want to jumpstart America, and it can be done, and it won't even be that hard.
Really? It's that easy, really? I mean, yeah, that is, and you can tell that's where he went off the script right there, right? Because he's got to... And it can be done. And it won't even really be that hard, okay? Because look at me. I can do anything. It was so funny because you could see the moments where... And Ivanka, this is a very also interesting moment. They put Ivanka in the front row of this speech to kind of stare him down to stay on the script.
Well, you get the feeling she's his handler.
Yeah.
Kind of, right? I mean, she really can control him a little bit.
She is the only person that he will listen to, it appears. Because even his campaign people try to tell him to do something, he's like, screw it. I'm going to do it my own way. And the problem with Donald Trump, and I figured this out today. As I said earlier, watching the speech was like his parents wrote it for him in seventh grade and made him go deliver it because he'd been just such a class clown the whole time. And they said, you got to do this. You're smart. You can do this, but you got to do this right. Because this is not how you get the A in class. The way you've been doing it, you think it's funny and cute and all that, but it's not working. And as a matter of fact, America's decided that you're kind of a hump. So now you have to go out there and act like an adult. So he tries it. And the issue is he gets bored. He's got such an incredible case of attention deficit disorder on top of chronic narcissism and, you know.
Among the many other things right. He has going on, yeah.
Fatal ideology. I don't know what he's got a billion different, but the ADD thing is he gets bored and he wants to entertain himself. So he starts like he's talking.
He wants to entertain the crowd, right? He wants to pull them in. He likes making these emphatic statements because people respond.
Yes, and he likes the adoration of the crowd responding to him, and that's like when he's a tough guy on stage. You know, when the protesters start protesting, he goes, "Yeah, I'd give him a shot." Bada bing, you know, like that, and then everybody goes, "Yay!" And it feels, you know, he's emboldened by that. That is not presidential. That's it. He's basically doing Andrew Dice Clay up there. Would anybody elect Andrew Dice Clay to be president of the United States? No. So he did it today, and there were 12 different times. And this is kind of a brilliant moment by the protesters too. Because the protesters are like, listen, it's an economic speech. We know he's going to have to read it. So if we can throw him off his game.
That was very smart on their part. Given his past patterns, that was actually a brilliant tactic.
Right. They thought they could throw him off his game by going in there and then having him respond. And then that becomes the story and not the economic speech. Which does tell you how sophisticated these campaigns are getting about this, including the protest campaign. And I got to give Donald Trump credit. I never do.
I think I'm giving Ivanka credit.
For staring him down.
For staring him down.
And sitting in the front row and going, you're not going to do this.
Because he did not respond.
I mean, she's basically saying to him, listen, pal, if you screw this up, I'm stepping on your oxygen hose when you're in the hospital. Right?
I'm the most responsible of all of the kids.
Right.
And I'm going to take charge and you won't like it.
I'm pulling your plug. Just remember, I'm in charge of the plug. So behave yourself here. And he did. He didn't fall for a single protester.
Right.
Which was, he just waited calmly while they escorted them out of the room.
Because usually it's so easy to bait him. And not this time.
All right.
Chicago Tribune delivers the stories that make the city, with more journalists at work than any other local news source. Become a member today at chicagotribune.com.
Top 5-5 continues. Checking in at
number 3.
Here's my boy. Tonga is a mostly overlooked country at the Olympics. Small delegation. One Olympic medal in the entire history of the Olympics. They got a silver in 96. But they had the most memorable moment of the Parade of Nations Friday night when the flag bearer came out bare-chested and dressed in nothing but a ta'ova'ola, which is a Tongan mat wrapped around his waist, and a huge amount of oil on his torso. Turns out it was coconut oil, not baby oil, as Violetta thought it was.
Classic coconut oil.
Rio is a city that has never been shy about celebrating the human form. And this guy, whose name is Tuafatua Tufua, appeared to loud roars of approval. Chicago Tribune's Stacy St. Clair was able to get a one-on-one interview after with Peter Nicholas Tuafafua Tuafua.
It was coconut oil, not baby oil, by the way. We use it a lot, but in Tonga it's traditional. In any sort of special event, we use coconut oil for, one for glisten, but also if it's a fundraising event, people stick money on it.
Yeah, it's a stripper. That's basically what he's saying there. And isn't that an Australian or a New Zealand accent right there?
Well, I think Tonga has, been influenced by the British Empire over the years. So, yes, it's
Tonga. They planted him. He's not even from there. They just wanted a good-looking guy to represent the country.
Yeah.
Listen, I think Tonga, 100,000 people, maybe 105,000 people. It's so small. And they are very close to New Zealand and Australia, so.
Yep. Let's see here. He qualified for the Rio Games by winning a tournament in Papua New Guinea. And he's a youth counselor who's also he's a youth counselor. How you doing, baby? Who has also done some modeling. Stripper.
Good for him. I'm going to dabble with some coconut oil this weekend, see if it helps me out.
Right after you're done with the curls for the girls.
Can you rub this coconut oil on coconut my back? Oil? I can never reach that one spot in my back there.
Yeah.
Curls for the girls and then coconut oil.
Well,
recipe.
And Violetta was like all like, I don't know, maybe I thought it was baby oil. She was all like baby oil. No, it was coconut oil. Wait, here's more of the guy.
It was being applied to me while I was holding the flag by a lovely lady behind me. And she was just like lathering it on. And I had to ask her to stop as my shoes were starting to slip off because it was just dripping down. And I didn't quite realize how much it was until I went on social media and I saw just how shiny I was.
Yeah.
Just getting lathered up.
Well, I thought now he can't put it on himself because then he wouldn't be able to hold the flag, right? When the flagpole just keeps slipping through his hands like the whole time.
That would have been great.
Yes, and that would have just added to the raw sexuality of the moment, right? And the Brazilians would have gone totally nuts.
Classic Brazil.
Classic.
Well, he could carry that coconut oil. That's all I'm saying.
Peter Nicholas Tuafua.
Got Miss Bum Bum down there. You got coconut oil guy. Getting hot over there.
Yeah. This is the most sexual Olympics of all times. When is the orgy competition? When is that going to be?
I believe that's Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock.
Thursday afternoon. Will they replay that in the primetime show?
Traditional orgy competition on Thursday.
Number two.
So darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me.
How about this? 30th anniversary of Stand By Me. I always like to add these to the top five of five when there's a cultural milestone. Rob Reiner directed film based on Stephen King novel debuted to limited release August 8th, 1986. By the way, this is also my mother's birthday. I should wish her a happy birthday.
Indeed.
Yes.
What'd you get her?
I got her a card. Got her a nice card. Actually, I didn't even get her a card. I got it. So I sent someone out to go get her a card.
You were trying to think of something.
Right when I got her a box of Pop-Tarts because they were in my cupboard. I'm taking her out to dinner. It's going to be nice. I got her flowers. I got her stuff.
That's nice.
Where are you going to dinner? Can I come?
Anyway, so August 8th, 1986, the movie came out. The story followed four boys as they searched for the body of a missing teen in Oregon in the 1950s. Will Wheaton, River Phoenix, Corey Feldman, and Jerry O'Connell played the group of friends. Kiefer Sutherland was in it, as you'll remember. Richard Dreyfuss narrated the story as an adult.
You're not taking him. Nobody's taking him.
Come on, kid. Just give me the gun before you take your foot off. You ain't got to shoot a woodchuck.
Don't move, Ace. I'll kill you, I swear to God.
Come on, LaChance. Give me the gun. You must have at least some of your brother's good sense. What are you going to do, shoot us all?
No, Ace. Just you.
Ooh, that scene. All right, and finally.
Number one.
If you love the Olympics and you sometimes think it's ridiculous what you're looking at on the TV, check out the Twitter account of comedian Leslie Jones. You know her from Saturday Night Live, and also she's been in the new Ghostbusters movie and a bunch of other stuff, a bunch of commercials as well. She's back on the social media platform after actually getting trolled pretty badly a couple of weeks ago after the release of Ghostbusters. And she has, now be careful because this is, adult, not safe for work kind of stuff. She's sharing some very, very funny, expletive-laden commentary about the Olympic Games.
Real talk, these motherfucking deductions is some real bullshit. I don't know what y'all jealous. Y'all jealous y'all can't do that shit. Yo, please tell me Michael Phelps is listening to Drake right now. Controller, controller, you like it? Okay, there's two people in the boat now, okay? And that boat is small, so how is his leg? I mean, is he sitting between his legs? And, wait a minute.
There you go. They actually offered NBC want to send her down there. She works for NBC for Saturday Night Live. They want to send her down there to be a commentator, but she can't stop swearing.
They can't. Everything would be bleeped out.
Yeah. They should put her on.
It's a family show, after all, right?
Yeah.
So we want kids to aspire to be athletes and watch this. That might be difficult.
Is that what we're doing there? I thought we're just selling McDonald's.
It is Rio. I don't know.
And Coca-Cola. I think that's what it's really all about. And we get to see Bob Costas continuing to look like a 12-year-old boy. I have no idea how he's doing that. Bob Costas is like 110.
Great.
He does.
He looks just like he did at the last Olympics.
Yes, except without the eye infection.
Genucel.
Yeah, it must be. It's looking good. All right. Let's close this thing up.
The top five at five.